And I do appreciate you being here, friends. A blessing that we can worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ together. Title of this morning's message, Praying for Change. Praying for change. Of course, I can share with you, you know, what I tend to pray for often, maybe sometimes spending hours on. But I want to remind myself, what saith the scriptures? That was one of my father-in-law's favorite lines. He would say, what saith the scriptures? It doesn't matter what I think. What I want, what I feel is what does the Word of God says. And so what do I pray for? What do you pray for? Do I pray? Do we pray for change? Maybe pray for, you know, hardships to go away, for pain to disappear. Pray for things to just go my way for once, Lord. That would be nice. If things just happen the way that I want it to happen, just once. You know, maybe from health struggles to financial woes, maybe to relationships on the verge of breaking up. Perhaps we've spent countless times and moments and hours praying for things to change for the better. And yes, you know, I get it. I want to pray for things to work out. Of course I do. But do I realize that God's desire is not so much to change my circumstances as it is to change me? Most of us, myself included, you know, I want my circumstances to change. I'll stay the same, though. I'm good, God. Just change everything else. Just change everyone else. Now, God actually tells us the opposite. He wants us to change. When we understand this truth, it would transform our prayer life. Praying for change. I've always prayed for change, but perhaps I can shift from a circumstantial thing to a more inward thing to myself. It applies to lost and saved alike. Of course, if someone is lost, if you have yet to believe and put your faith and trust only in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to get saved. You got to get saved. But God doesn't change the circumstances just because someone is lost. God doesn't say just because someone rejects Him. God, of course, He's hurting. He wants them to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but it all come to repentance. But God is not going to change and say, well, in fact, God cannot change. He's immutable. But God is not going to change and say, well, if you don't want to get saved, it's okay. I'll get rid of hell. There'll be no hell. There'll be no punishment for sin. I won't be holy anymore. And God's not going to change that. God changes us. When we get saved, we get born again. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So God has always been in the life-changing business, us personally. We need to change. Once we are saved, it's no different. So that's it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. That was kind of my preamble there. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Testament. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, and just a tremendous testimony from the Apostle Paul. He'll be the first to confess as the chief of sinners that he had to change and change for the better. But notice what he tells here, the believers at Ephesus, as God is telling you and I here at Northside. And so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, notice the desire and commandment of God says this, that ye put off. Concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let us pray. Abba, Father, I thank you so much for your grace and mercy to us. Thank you for your precious, precious word. Father, that is supernatural, that is eternal, that is the living Word of God. And thank you, Father, that we can hear and know you from your Word, Lord, that it's not man's opinion, that is your precious, precious Word, that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so, Father, we thank you that we have that assurance, Father, that we know that it's thus saith the Lord. Father, we can trust in your Word, Father, because there is nothing out there. It's all just hopelessness and it's all just destitute. Thank you, Father. We have it all through your word. And so, Father, now we pray that that the Holy Spirit of God anoint these lips of clay. Father, you know my heart. Lord, I'm rejoicing. I'm weeping. Lord, I'm just blessed. I'm bruised. But, Father, we just give you all the praise for your mercy and goodness to us. And, Father, we ask that your hand of mercy be and comfort be upon those here today. Bless them and edify them in a special way, Lord, and speak to hearts, Lord. Help me, help us to take to heart, Lord, as yes, we do pray for change, but change for self, that I would be more like Jesus Christ. Lord, what a desire, what a heart's prayer, Lord. Help me not to focus so much on my circumstances, but to focus on you and then me as you. And so, Father, we love you. Bless this time, the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. In verse 22, Paul is indeed talking to believers. So he's not talking to the lost, okay? He's talking to Christians. And yes, once we are saved, we're saved on the inside. We should live it on the outside. When we don't, God convicts us. The Holy Spirit of God chastises us. We don't feel good about it. And so it behooves us to be fast to repent, swift to hear, slow to wrath, right? So he's talking to believers, okay? They're saved just as you and I are. If you're saved, we're saved as much as they are, okay? So this certainly applies to Christians. And so let's look at verse 22. Kind of when it starts off, says, the word of God says, speaking to Christians, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. To put off, the idea is essentially like taking off, you know, an old garment, if you will. And so it's something that must be conscientiously done, is actively done. If we don't do it, it's not going to get done. It doesn't take off itself. Okay, God has tasked us in doing this. And so what do we put off? Well, it's speaking about our testimony as a lost person. Well, I don't know, maybe some of us kind of remember how we were when we were lost. Not just what we got into, not just maybe our hobbies or that there's not becoming of a Christian now, and not just what we liked, but even how we think. What do I think? Why do I think? Okay. Why do I do what I do? Right? What's my motivation? And who do I serve? Okay. And so the whole package deal of how you and I were before we were saved, that's our testimony. The Bible calls testimony conversation, in the sense that what we do and how we live speaks volumes. Okay. Not just what we say, but how we live. So it's the whole testimony of a person. That's the conversation, and it's former conversation. So it's our testimony when we were lost. Okay, so how we did things when we were unsaved. Okay, our lifestyle, how we were, our not just our verbal words, but our whole actions. Right, actions speak louder than words. So our whole life as a lost person, take it off. Take it off the former conversation, the old man. The Bible calls it here the old man, the old you, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It's corrupt. It's broke. It's gross. It's rancid. It's stinking. It's breaking down. Why would I want to live like that old person, right? Why would I, as a saved person, a child of God, want to live like a lost person, which is corrupt according? Now, it doesn't just say lust, which, of course, you know, we all have lust. The lust still lives in our flesh. Not till this flesh dies, and then we get a new body that is incorruptible, that has no lust. Praise God, no sin, no temptation. Praise God, looking forward to that. Our new body that Jesus promises all believers. Remember, when you get saved, your spirit is born again. Your soul gets saved, but your flesh is not. Your flesh, body, spirit. Okay, and so your body is not saved. It's cursed. It never gets saved. God intends for it to die. And while we are now still alive, our soul, that's the real you, your soul gets the choice now that you are saved. Do I follow and yield to the spirit that you're born again, or the flesh, which is always telling you to sin and go against God, right? And so that's the context. The flesh, my flesh, your flesh has the lust that it knows what it likes. It knows what you in the flesh likes. But it's also deceitful. Not just lust, but deceitful lust. In other words, if I sin, I might think I'm doing something fun. I'm just hurting myself. If I sin, I might think I can get away with it, but I'm just mocking God. Be sure my sin will find me out. And so why would I live as a saved person, the testimony of a lost person, when I was just going the way of the world? It is lustful, but it is deceitful. Okay, so that is the warning. That is the challenge to all Christians in verse 22. So instead of that, for now we'll skip verse 23. Let's go to verse 24. This is what God wants us to put on. You got to put it off first before you put it on. And so what do we put on? And that ye put on the new man. Now this is speaking same context, you're already saved. But the old man in verse 22 is the old testimony that you lived as a lost person. So now we put on the new you, how God wants you to live. This is speaking about not salvation, it's speaking about testimony. Okay, same context, old man, new man. It's according to the former conversation. Now it's talking about the new conversation. Okay, your new testimony in Christ. So verse 24, and that ye put on the new man to live the life that God wants you to live, that's becoming of a Christian, a child of God. And so this new testimony, contrary to the old lost testimony, this new testimony, this new life that God wants you to live, which after God, so it follows God. Amen. is created in righteousness as opposed to corrupt, and true holiness as opposed to deceitful lust. I mean, this is awesome. This is the testimony that God wants you and I as believers. Again, this is speaking to Christians, to live now that we are saved. And this new testimony is created in righteousness. God is holy. He wants us to live a holy life. And this testimony is truly of true holiness. That's amazing. I mean, it kind of blows my mind. But we are, of course, not to just live for Jesus. We are. But we are also to live like Jesus, right? And so that's the command, to live like Jesus and for Jesus. Now, isn't this new man awesome? I'm like, yeah, all right, let's do this. How do I put on a new man? Well, verse 23, that's the key verse, because verse 24 is not going to happen unless verse 23 happens. So verse 23 says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, to be renewed here in scriptural context, this is not saying to do the same thing over and over again. It's not like, I don't know, renewing your driver's license, right? Is it 10 years? I forget, you know, but it's not like renewing your driver's license where, you know, it expires, you go in to the DMV, and you get it renewed. And then after you have your driver's license renewed, guess what? It's still the same thing. You can't drive anything different. You're going back to the same old car. If you couldn't drive it before, you can't drive it now, right? Just because I renew my driver's license, all of a sudden I can't just drive semi. If I couldn't before, I can't now. And so it's not just saying renew it in the sense that it's the same old hamster wheel. It's not just saying, turn your hand in and draw 7 new cards from the same old lousy deck. It's not just saying, so the renew is not just rinse and repeat. It's not just doing more of the same thing that we did while we were lost. The renew here, the context here is to be remade for something totally new. That's what it says here. When it's talking about renew, it's a brand new thing, whole new thing. There's no connection to that which is past. It is to be remade, reborn, if you will, rebirth from something totally new. It's from above with a brand new, you know, ingredients, materials. It's spiritual, not fleshly, with a brand new purpose of serving God instead of serving self. Okay, so that's the idea. It's a complete overhaul. It's not a remodel. It's not an add-on when it says renew, but it's talking about a complete demolition and a new construction. Okay, so it's new materials for a new purpose. God wants, in essence, verse 23, God wants to change us. I mean, physically we look the same, okay, but it's talking about our insides, okay? God wants to change us, and so may we not be so, preaching to myself here, may we not be so apprehensive about letting God change us. Sometimes I just want to hang on because of the deceitful lust to my old self, my old ways, when I should just trust God. He wants to change me. Let him change me. Don't resist. Don't be stiff-necked. It's how God blesses us. If you read in the scriptures, how God blesses us and how God uses us is when he changes us. I don't want to be a smart aleck, but just to consider the people that Jesus healed, right? The blind man. Jesus didn't say, okay, I'm going to change the circumstances. Now, everyone else be blind. And so now you fit in with society. I mean, no, he doesn't change the circumstances. He changes the blind man, gives him sight. The lame man, the one who can't walk. Jesus doesn't change his circumstances. He says, all right, we'll make everyone crippled, and then that's the norm. No, he changes the cripple, so now he can walk. The leper, he heals him. He changes him. The woman with the blood issue, the 12 years, right, spent all that she had, was worse. God changed her. The Lord changed her. Jesus doesn't so much change our circumstances, he wants to change us. What about the apostles? You have a fisherman, you have a tax collector, you have a zealot, you have a Pharisee, that's Paul. You know, and God changed them. Not their circumstances, he changed them, they left it. From living regular, natural life for self to a supernatural life for God. God is in the changing business, he wants to change you, he wants to change me. But change what? My height? I wish. No, he wants to change my mind, right? Look at verse 23. And be renewed, so that's changed from above, in the spirit of your mind. The mind is how we think, what we think, why we think. It's really you, your personality, your mind. And by the way, your mind is interlinked with your heart and with your soul. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Kind of all go, go together. Okay, so it's all part of you. And it's not just what's on the surface of my mind. The Bible, God goes out of his way to spell it out here. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This would be the life of your mind, if you will. You know, if you have, you know, maybe you say, oh yeah, we had a real spirited conversation last week. You know, that means it's a lively conversation, or there's some tension. It's real, it wasn't fake. Okay, and so the idea is we use the word spirit here to represent the whole essence, the life, the breath, the heartbeat of your mind. What makes your mind tick? Okay, that idea, the core of your mind, that's the spirit of your mind, the breath, the pneuma of your mind, the attitude, the disposition, the all makeup of your mind, the entirety of your mind. God wants to change that. Now, this change is very, very real. If you look at verse 25, we're going to keep going here. Look at verse 25. So someone that has done this, been renewed in the spirit of their mind, and then they can, you know, take off the old, put on the new man, the testimony that they live. Their mind has completely switched, you know, and it's almost like, you know, when I was growing up, I did not like Brussels sprouts. Now I love them. That's what happens when you get saved. No, it's not because I got saved. I'm just saying, I don't know how it happened. I conked my head or something. I did have several concussions as a kid. I'm sure we all had growing up. But somehow it's as though someone took my old brain out, put my new mind in, and now I love it, okay? And so the idea is you have your old testimony gone, living a new testimony in Christ. Look at this now. Someone who has this new man on as a testimony, a lifestyle of a Christian. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So someone who has the new, the new man on is a man of truth and integrity. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Now this is not talking about have righteous anger, only God can do that. This is saying don't be angry, okay? When I am angry, when I'm tempted to unleash my wrath on you, to get my vengeance right, don't do that, sin not. And by the way, in fact, we're talking about this in our family devotions. When we are triggered, we might really only have microseconds to back out and sin not before we unload on someone, okay? It can be that sudden. So when we feel ourselves, our blood boiling, time out. Time yourself out, okay? You're going to regret it. If you're unleashing wrath, you're going to regret it. The wrath of God worketh not the righteousness, you know, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So don't be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And so this man, this gentleman who has put on the new man, he is a man of truth and integrity. He's also a man of temperance, which, by the way, kind of speaks to my heart. Because when I pray, it's easy for me. Oh, Lord, please, can I pray that things go my way? It's so frustrating. Or I can pray, Lord, give me temperance. Lord, change me. Give me contentment. Lord, give me patience so I don't just blow up and, you know, and when things happen that don't go my way, right? So it changes how I pray. Pray to be changed like this. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. This is a man that eschews evil. Wow. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So this man is a man of honest work and generous giving. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. None, zip, not one. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. This man is a man of a bridled tongue. Not just to not say what he shouldn't, but say what they should. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. This is a man who walks in the Spirit, yields to the Holy Spirit, doesn't grieve him. Amen. Verse 31, in fact, verse 31 describes the old man. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. The same way as you put it off in verse 22, right, the old man. And look at verse 31. May we say, boy, that's the old me. The old me was bitter. Always have a chip on my shoulder. Just grumpy in life, you know. The new me, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What a testimony. Praise God. A man who loves and forgives. Now, we can't do any of this if we still have the old man on. We can't put on the new man, and we can't put on the new man if our mind, the spirit of our mind, so the entirety of our mind, okay, what keeps our mind alive, right? So we can't do any of that if the old way of thinking is still on even life support. It's got to be mortify the deeds of the flesh. Get it out. Get a lobotomy, right? You got to get the new mind in, the mind of Christ, right? And so now it beckons a question, how? How do I get this new mind? Well, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Word of God is so wonderful. God doesn't leave us hanging. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. There's another verse here that kind of speaks on the same thing. A little bit more, different angle than what we just read. But Colossians 3 verse 10. Turn with me, my friends. How does God change us? Because I want to be changed. How does he do it? Colossians 3, let's go to verse 10. It says here, and have put on the new man. Now it describes this new man. What was renewed? Remember the spirit of the mind? Okay, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so our mind is renewed in knowledge of Christ. Christ is the one who created us. And so the more that we know the Lord, the closer we are with the Lord, the more our mind is renewed. He's your Savior, hallelujah. That's the truth that you believe you're saved. That he's the Son of God, you believe that truth, you're saved. And then, is Jesus your best friend? And then, how much time do you spend with Jesus? Because the knowledge of Jesus Christ, not just facts that you know about him, but this is knowing him personally. The idea of just the quality of that relationship. Everyone that's saved has a relationship with God. Amen. But the relationships all vary. And the closer we get to God, the closer, the more knowledge we have personally with the Lord, the caliber of our relationship with the Lord is what supernaturally changes our mind. Even an interaction with God changes our mind. Okay, it keep changing it more and more like him. Every heartfelt interaction with the Lord changes us, whether it's Jacob wrestling with God, right? We know that story in the Old Testament. He's about to meet Big Brother. He knows that unless God is going to bless him, he's done. Because death is coming. Esau is going to kill him. And so he doesn't want to let the angel go, even though he's got a dislocated hip. The pain is excruciating. He just hangs on and says, no, I won't let you go until you bless me. Finally, the angel says, okay, which is God, Jacob was wrestling with God. He wrestled with him and he lived. And so he got the blessing of God, and God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. God changed him. Or even like Peter, right? Peter repenting to Jesus, a personal encounter with Jesus after he denied the Lord 3 times. He was heartbroken about that. But the Lord came to him and says, yes, Lord, you know I love thee. It was that sweet interaction that Jesus before had said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Had to get converted. Had to get right with God. Even prayer changes us. In fact, I can say, especially prayer changes us. Because this is how we interact with God, and this is how we get to know God better, is through prayer. And so praying for change, it kind of wraps it full circle. David, he said in Psalm 51, verse 10, David pleaded to the Lord. David prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Paul's prayer, look at this. This one of my heroes of the faith. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians. And we know this is Paul's thorn in the flesh. And so it really, really hurt. And thorn here is not just like a little rose thorn. This is more like a stake tent, okay? Or a tent stake. And so the idea is 2 Corinthians 12. This is where Paul is really crying out to the Lord. It's a personal thing, but now he shares it to the Corinthians. He felt compelled. Of course, the Lord wanted him to do that. He's writing the scriptures. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's go to verse 8. Notice this, 2 Corinthians verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 8. And so Paul is talking about this thorn in his flesh, in his side. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. To besought means to beg. I mean, Paul is begging with God, please take this pain away from me. Take this thorn in my flesh away. I'm sure I can put myself in his shoes. I got all the reasons. I can serve you better. I can pray better. I can do more. I can go further. I can do more Bible studies. Just take this away from me, God. He says, yeah, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. And so he's praying fervently over and over and over that it might depart from me. He wants the change in his circumstance. I mean, this is a tough, I'm getting by, but I'm like living in quicksand. I'm just surging through the swamp. Lord, take this pain away from me. And in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This is Paul quoting Jesus, the Lord talking to him. In other words, the Lord says, I'm not taking it away. I'm not going to change the circumstance, but I'm going to change you. Most gladly, therefore, now because of this interaction with the Lord through prayer, especially by prayer, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look at verse 10. Therefore, now keep in mind, Paul's thorn in the flesh is still there. He's still in the same pain. But from this interaction with the Lord, Paul's circumstances hasn't changed, but he has changed, right? Wow. Therefore, now he's completely different from verse 8. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. In fact, not only is Paul saying that he's good with his pain, he goes beyond. Now he's lumping everything else in. But for that matter, every hardship I take pleasure in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Because here's the truth that changed Paul. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Strong in the Lord. You know, he's weak and very keenly aware of his weakness. But the weaker he is, the more keenly aware he is of God's all-sufficient grace. His circumstances didn't change. There's still hardships. There were hardships before, now there's hardships now. But he changed because he prayed to the Lord. And the knowledge of God, the more knowledge we have with our Lord, it changes the spirit of our mind. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. I'll be remiss if I don't share this. It's a wonderful verse. So back to 1 Corinthians, and we find Romans chapter 12. Let's go to verse 1. Pray that we present our bodies as living sacrifices. We can trust God wholeheartedly, trustful into God. Amen. Romans chapter 12 and then verse 1. Again, the Apostle Paul writing this says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now, he's already done it. He wants them to do it. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Live for God. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Remember, when you live the testimony of a yielded life, God changes our mind, the spirit of our mind, that completely overhauls our mind, so we can put on the new man, the new testimony of a lifestyle of a Christian that we ought to live, which is created, what, in righteousness and true holiness. Here it is. Which is your reasonable service. Verse 12. Be not conformed to this world. That's the old me. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Same truth. It's the mind inside. That ye may prove, when we do this, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so Paul's been there, done that. He's telling the Romans believers to do that. Because Paul did do that, and his mind got renewed, got completely overhauled, and now all of a sudden Paul is saying, hey, when persecutions come, well, when despairs, when pain, I rejoice in it. I said, hey, Lord, another more opportunity for your grace to shine forth through this human vessel. Go for it. Oh, and then as he's falling apart, as he's giving his life as a martyr for Christ, it is the glory of God that's magnified. It is the grace of God's all-sufficient grace that comes to the surface. Because Paul, like John the Baptist says, I must decrease. He must what? Increase, right? What a testimony. What a challenge. Christians need to put off, you and I need to put off the old man, put on the new man. How? By renewing our mind in the knowledge of Christ, deepening our relationship with the Lord. 2 Peter, let's turn this, my father-in-law's favorite verse. Maybe one of it, but it could be the favorite verse of my father-in-law. Let's go to 2 Peter 3:18. In fact, I'm pretty sure it is, because he would always say this is his favorite. He always says, I always say, kids, 2 Peter 3:18. What a joy. The Word of God tells us, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. Because from this knowledge of Christ, again, not just Bible trivia. I mean, that's good, but it starts there. It doesn't end there. Not just factoids of the Lord, but really, really know Him. and you really, really know him, there's no way around it. You have to spend time with the Lord. There's no shortcuts. You have to spend time with the Lord in his word, in the prayer closet. Spend time with the Lord. That will renew our mind, the spirit, the very essence, and the whole shebang of our mind, so that we can put on the new man. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let us pray for change, my friends, but may this message challenge us, not so much for our circumstances, but for ourselves. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, what a joy to be here. I thank you, Father, for your precious, precious word. I thank you, Father, for your goodness to us and your mercy. And just your word that we can read of the testimony of saints that have gone before us, how you work effectually in their life, and that we cling on to it, Father, as your word. Father, that we would decrease, so the Lord Jesus Christ would increase, that we would grow in our knowledge of you, Father. Lord, that we would be close to you, closer to you, know more of you and with you and spend time with you in prayer, that we pray for change for myself. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would renew my mind, make it completely the way you want it to be, Lord. Help me to get rid of my old habits, the things that I used to think. Help me, Lord, to think and focus only on you, to live for you, to give myself and trust in you, that I will be a living sacrifice. And so, Father, we give you all the praise. We ask, Father, that we be found faithful, because we know that you are always faithful to us. Help me, Lord, to be like that man who is of truth and integrity, a man of temperance. Help me, Lord, I don't want to lose my temper. I don't want to just blow up. That is the old me. That's not how I should be. Help me, Lord, to eschew evil. Help me, Lord, to work honestly and to give generously. Help me to have a bridle tongue. Help me to walk in the Spirit. Help me to love and to forgive. To live this new man. Thank you, Father, for this time of invitation. May hearts be stirred. May we do business with you in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed.